turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. Ezekiel, chapter 47. And when you found your place, if you'll stand for just a moment. I've certainly enjoyed the preaching this week. And there's an aspect in which, you know, obviously being the last speaker of the meeting puts a lot of pressure on you, especially when it's a good meeting. And all the preaching's been good, and, you know, you're given the responsibility of closing it out. I really have just so enjoyed the meeting, and thank the Lord for every preacher, every guy has just brought the meal. I remember the first time I had the opportunity to preach at a national meeting was actually Brother Sam's church in 1997. And I had just been pastor of the church a little over 2 years, and I thought to myself, what on earth am I doing here, you know? And I was thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for this opportunity, no question about it. But, you know, God gives us opportunities, and we need to take advantage of those times. And honestly, all I've thought about all my life is just, God, I just want to serve you. And whatever opportunities you give to me, I want to take advantage of those opportunities. I want to challenge the young people that are here. You're a teenager. I grew up in a church. I know I can identify where some of you are coming from. I may not be able to identify with everybody because obviously some of you may have been saved a little bit later in life. But I grew up in a Christian home and grew up in a good church. And it's easy to take a good church for granted. And, you know, God has to ring our bell every once in a while. And when God finally got a hold of my heart, I just thought, you know, I don't have much to give to you, Lord, but whatever I have, it's yours to have. And thank the Lord for the opportunities He's given to me, and thank the Lord for the privileges. Certainly, I'm a very blessed man, no question about it. Ezekiel chapter 47, we begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "And afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and he led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had a line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the waters, were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000 and it was a river. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the brink of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said unto me, These waters issue toward the east country and go down to the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And they shall be very great multitudes of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglaim, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But many places thereof, and the marshes thereof shall, I'm sorry, the mighty places thereof, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, and on the one on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his month, because their waters issued out of the sanctuary, and their fruit thereof shall be meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we're very grateful tonight. We're grateful, Lord, for the blessing of this wonderful meeting that we've been a part of. We thank you, Lord, for the very beginning of this meeting on Monday night and how you stirred our hearts. And then Tuesday morning and then Tuesday night and then this morning and now tonight, Lord, we have the opportunity to close this meeting out. And Lord, I need your help tonight. There's no question about it. Every preacher needs your help. Lord, when they stand behind the sacred desk, we need your help every day, Lord, for the work that you give to us. And so, Father, we humble ourselves. We're not ashamed to ask for your help tonight. We're not ashamed to say that we need your power and your blessing. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Help my thoughts, Lord, to be, Lord, used of you to speak that I may, Lord, be a blessing and a help. And certainly, Lord, as we leave this place and we return to our respective places of ministry, Lord, I pray that our lives would be more significant. That, Lord, in many respects, that our ministries would be greater because we've spent this time, Lord, together. And our iron has sharpened one another's iron, and our hearts have challenged one another to greater works for God. Father, the need is great in our world tonight. Millions and multitudes of people, Lord, without Christ. Lord, help us now in the next few moments as we consider this water that flows from the sanctuary of God. God, help us. Help us to understand the fact that you want us to be a conduit to carry that water to others. Now, Father, we ask these things and we pray them in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Most of us don't really think too much about water because we live in a country like the United States of America. You don't think too much about it until you go to the faucet one day and you turn it on and there's nothing flowing. And you think, my lands, what's happened? I honestly, because I've grown up in Cleveland, Ohio, we've never had a problem with water in our city because we're set right on the Great Lakes. We're the North Shore of the United States of America. We're set right on the Great Lakes. We sit on Lake Erie. There's a water intake for the city of Cleveland. It's 5 miles off the shoreline. You can see it almost from almost every part of the shoreline of the city of Cleveland. That water intake that brings the water into the city. Of course, that's treated water. They don't just take that raw water out of the lake to drink it. I wouldn't want to do that. I'm glad they treat it, to be quite honest with you. But honestly, because we've had that intake of water, because we sat on the Great Lake, never thought too much about a lack of water. But truthfully, you know, when you think about it, we just go to the faucet. We just turn the faucet on. We expect water to flow. We use it so readily. We use it for so many things. We bathe with it. We brush our teeth with it. We use it for laundering. We use it for all kinds of different things. I've had the opportunities and the privileges to travel to some third world countries where they said, don't drink the water. Don't even think about drinking the water. The water is not a good source. And so I've had that opportunity. But you know, the great majority of the world doesn't have a clean water source. I was given a statistic some time ago, and I don't know exactly what the whole parameters of this really is, but they say that wars one day probably will be fought in this world over water because of the lack of clean water, because of a lack of source of good water. There very well could be wars that will be fought over it. And so most of us, you know, when we think about that, we don't really think about the fact of how important water is to us. Now, I said that to share with you the great importance of water. Physically, water is important. You've got to have it. You can live days without food. You can go probably maybe a month or more without food. Most of us can't hardly go a meal without food, but you can go longer than that. We talk about fasting, and most of us, we think of fast as if I skip lunch. But truthfully, you can go days and weeks without eating food, but you can't go more than 2 to 3 days without taking water, some sort of water into your body, or you will die. You have to have water to exist. It's vitally, vitally important. Now, water has always been essential to sustain life and to make one productive. It's interesting, when God created the world, in the book of Genesis, when the Bible talks about God creating the world and putting man in that garden, that beautiful garden that he created, the Bible says there was a river in that garden. And that river flowed out of that garden and became 4 different rivers out of that river. And I can only imagine how pure and how wonderful it must have been to be in that garden before sin entered this world, and what it must have been like to drink of that water, of river of water that God had placed there in that place. A little bit later in the book of Genesis, we find Abraham and his son Isaac had to dig wells. They dug those wells to sustain their life in the barren places in the desert. They had cattle, they had people, and they knew if they were going to exist, that there was going to be thriving life, they had to have a water source. And so they'd go out and they'd spend and expend the energy to dig a well because they knew they had to have that water in order for life to thrive. Truthfully, if you would mark our country in the very beginning in the major metropolitan areas today that have really developed, probably one of the things that you would find is one of the things that they really looked for in order to plant a city or to start a city was a water source that they thought would be so that it could sustain life and growth in that city. The major cities of our country, they have to have that water source in order to supply the population with that vital thing. Now, during the days of Ezekiel, the water was a great issue. No question about it. Would you notice that God brought this prophet to the temple, and the Bible says that he gave him a vision of water that flowed from the sanctuary of God. Amen. I like that. Amen. Like the fact that God brought him to that sanctuary, and he showed him water that was flowing from the sanctuary. Now, I believe that this water is symbolic. Amen. Symbolic in nature of the gospel that really would originate from the true sanctuary and the offering of the Lamb of God as a sacrifice. That water of life that is flowing to us tonight. I will reference Revelation chapter 22 and verses 1 and 2. And the Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manners of fruit, and it yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And there's no question that I believe that this picture that we're given in Ezekiel, God is showing. You know, it's interesting how the Bible says, I believe it is in the book of Peter, where it says that these prophets and these Old Testament saints of God were able to see things, but they didn't really understand the things that they saw, didn't understand the significance of what they saw, but they saw something. And as we see it in the New Testament, we see the fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says something more to us than it even said to them. And they inquired, they want to know something about what you and I have the privilege of knowing in great detail tonight. Hey, that water has flown from the sanctuary of God since the day that God offered the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is life-giving water that God wants to flow to this world and wants to change lives through that river of water of life that God sends from the sanctuary. In the Bible, water can be used symbolically. It's used of the Holy Spirit. It's used of course, the Word of God. I think we'd agree that it takes both the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to bring a person to a place of decision and bring them to a point of trusting Christ as Savior. I love what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The passage shares that Jesus said that He could give to that woman, that outcast woman whose life was in shambles and was in ruins. And she was so outcast that she alone had to come by herself at midday because she couldn't come when anybody else would come because of her lifestyle, because she was so immoral and so ungodly and so wicked that no one else would want to come. And so she couldn't come with the rest of the ladies to get water. Don't you love what John chapter 4 says? That the Bible says there that Jesus needs go through Samaria. And he sat on the well, and this woman came out, and he began that conversation and said, "Hey, would you give me some water?" And as she went to draw, he said this. He said, "If you knew who it was that would ask of you water, you'd ask of him that he'd give you living water that you'd never thirst again." I'm saying to you tonight that God talks about this water in John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. The Bible says, "He that believeth on me, the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now I want us to look at this passage tonight. Now I want us to consider this water that flows from the sanctuary, because my brothers in Christ, my sisters in Christ, you folks that are here, whether you're a missionary, an evangelist, or a pastor, a preacher, a staff member, a lay person, this world tonight needs the water that flows from the sanctuary of God. It's in desperate need. And if we're going to see life, if we're going to see lives change, if we're going to see this world impacted, that water has to flow from the sanctuary of God. Would you notice, please, tonight, the truths of the description of this water that are given to us. Would you notice in verse number 1, please, the source of the water. The Bible says, "And afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, the waters issued from under the threshold of the house eastward." I think to myself, the first thing I think about the source of this water, that it was supernatural in origin. This was not something that a man could produce. This was not something that any one of us could produce. But it's something that only God Himself could produce. The water that flows from God Himself. Man has no way of producing this kind of water. Now, man is able perhaps to take some dirty water through some chemicals and through some filtration, can take that dirty water and clean it up. But I'm telling you that man cannot produce that which only God can produce. We talk about creation and we talk about men creating things. I want to tell you something. Nobody creates anything but God. See, we make things from what God has created, but God Himself takes nothing and makes something out of it. And I think to myself about the fact that God has created this water. It was supernatural. Hey, this water flowed from an unusual source. It flowed from God Himself. Supernatural in origin. Passages speak of living water that comes from God. We talked about that in the book of John, where Jesus introduces Himself to this woman at the well. In John chapter 7, He says, man, I want to give you this living water. Now, while water is produced by God alone, He gives us the privilege of being a conduit for that water. Man, that's what we're supposed to be, Brother Webster. That's what we're supposed to be, Brother Lydic. That's what we're supposed to be, Brother Monette. We're supposed to just be a conduit for God to flow that water to places where that water needs to be taken so that barrenness, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, can be turned to life. God can do some great things when that water flows to those places. So we consider the source of water. Secondly, we should consider the course of the water. We're told that these waters flowed eastward. Verse number 8 states that they flowed to the east country, to the desert, to the sea. The waters flow down. Now, if you know anything about Jerusalem, if you've ever had the opportunity to be there, Jerusalem is an elevated city. And east of Jerusalem, if you've ever had that privilege of going over there and touring you, we've had that privilege on a number of occasions. Brother Lydic and I had the opportunity to go together the last time, and we wanted to plan another trip. We'd like to make it a GBIF, a Holy Land trip. But, man, I tell you, everything's in an uproar over there. You can't get anybody to go right now. But it's such a privilege to go over there. And I remember the last time we came down through that valley by Jericho, and then we began that ascent heading to the west up towards Jerusalem. And I think to myself that this water, it flowed, the Bible says, to the east, which means it was flowing down away from Jerusalem and into that desert region. If you know anything about that region, east of Jerusalem in the desert is the Dead Sea. And that's what the Bible says, is that's where it flowed. Would you notice that God allowed this water to flow to places that were known, listen, for barrenness, bitterness, and blistering death. God allowed it to flow there. And these were places of devastation, places of barrenness and death. Only clean, pure water can bring life out of such death and devastation. I want to tell you, every place this water that we're talking about that has flowed from the sanctuary, every place that has flowed, there's no exception, every place where this water has flowed, God has changed and changed dramatically. I think to myself, a little over 47 years ago, a young man graduated from Baptist Bible College. And all he wanted to be was just a conduit to bring the water that flowed from the sanctuary to a city called Cleveland, Ohio, that was barren and dry with death and destruction. And I think to myself that this man was a conduit, and he brought that water from the sanctuary, and how Cleveland, Ohio was impacted because a man was willing to be the conduit to bring that water to that city. I think to myself that the changes that have been made in our city. Now for the past 47 years, God has allowed that wonderful water to flow in a place that was barren and without any hope and without God. And tonight it's really, if you could come to our church, it's like Eden, man. I mean, like God is working and it's wonderful because the waters of the sanctuary flow there. Lives have been changed. I'm one of them. I was thinking today, five generations of my family have been impacted because of the water that has flown from the sanctuary in Cleveland, Ohio. My grandfather, he was saved, but he wasn't serving God when that man came and knocked on his door and said, I need your house to start a church. I mean, it is an unbelievable story how God worked that whole thing. But I'm telling my grandfather said yes to a man who he would never have said yes to, except God was working in supernatural ways to prepare his heart to clear out a house so a church could get started, which in turn impacted my parents, which in turn impacted me. And now I've got three of my sons in my church, but two of them are serving on the staff. And I got three little grandchildren right now that are well, it's too late now. They're out of the nursery already at the church. But I'm just simply saying five generations of our family have been impacted because of that water that somebody was willing to be a conduit to and bring us to Cleveland, Ohio. Now I want to say this tonight. I want to preface about what I'm about to say because I want you to understand I'm not trying to share something with you to say, well, look what Cleveland Baptist Church has done. I'm just trying to prove the point of the water that flows from the sanctuary tonight. And I just want to say because that water was brought by a man and because it became a place of fruitfulness and blessing, that tonight, because of that, Cleveland Baptist Church, we have a young couple that is planting a church in Naples, Florida tonight. Because of that, a young family is in Lakewood, Ohio. We just organized a church on January the 28th in Lakewood, Ohio. More homosexuals per capita than even San Francisco, Ohio, or San Francisco, California. I'm just simply saying, why? Because the water is flowing from the sanctuary. We have a young family getting ready to start a church in Avon, Ohio, March or April this year. We have a couple reaching gypsy population of Greater Cleveland. We have two families in Russia tonight. We have one family in Scotland, one family in Ireland, one family in Albania, one family in Kenya, one family in the Ivory Coast, one young family reaching gypsies in Hungary and Romania. We have one family in Slovakia, one single lady in Mexico, a single lady in Brazil, one single man reaching Russian Jews in New York City, and one family sent 2 weeks ago to the field of Bolivia. I'm telling you why, because the water has flowed from the sanctuary. That's why. That's why. 50 years ago, it's been in the news recently, but 50 years ago, five young men were slain in Ecuador trying to reach the Aka Indians. I don't know how this happened, but I just remember as a boy, my pastor, Dr. Thompson, had the opportunity to have some of those Aka Indians and Elizabeth Elliott come to our church. I remember seeing those Aka Indians who had been, one of them, responsible for murdering, participating in the murder of those five missionaries. Stood on our platform, who was a born-again Christian, whose life was changed because the water flowed from the sanctuary. One of the great men, who impacted my life as a young man was Charles Mosley, missionary to New Guinea. I don't know if you guys had the experience, but I remember him coming to our church, and we had supported Brother Mosley for a number of years as he went to New Guinea. Of course, New Guinea was known as a place where headhunters were and where life was just, I mean, no God. You talk about barren, you talk about desert, you talk about dry, you talk about death. I mean, that's what it was. I remember when Brother Mosley stood on our platform, and I'm not trying to be gross here tonight, but I remember he brought a little silver like wire thing, and it had five little petrified fingers. And he stood before our congregation. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I hold before you today, I hold before you a representation of what God has done in New Guinea through the ministry that you sent us there to help with." And he told the story about how this woman, who he had led to Christ through the ministry that God had shared with him as he went to New Guinea and took the gospel there, how that before he came, when little babies died, they had no hope of ever seeing them again. And so the only hope that they had was that they'd chop a finger off and they'd petrify that finger because that's all they thought they'd ever have to remember that child by. And Brother Mosley came and preached the gospel, and that woman realized that that little baby, those little babies that died in Ecuador, they weren't somebody that they wouldn't see again, but because she accepted Christ and because they were innocent and they died before they came to an age of accountability, she would see them again. And so she took that token of her paganism and her backwardness and the death and barren destruction of not knowing Christ. And she said, "Brother Mosley, when you go back to the United States, stand before the people and say, 'Thank you for sending this missionary that has made a difference.'" So we think of the source of the water, we think of the course of the water, then I think of the force of the water. Would you notice that the water starts out small? By the time you get to verse number 5, it's not just ankle deep, but it's a river to swim in. You know, I thought about that and I thought to myself, what does that say? That says so many things. I don't even know where to begin. But one of the things I think to myself is it seems to speak of the availability of this water to really overflow a person. And and to overwhelm a person. And I thought to myself, you know, it seems to me that what God is saying about that water that and its force is that God can take us as the conduit. And if we just yield our life, it's amazing what God can do in and through our lives. If we just make ourselves available. You know, sometimes we talk about, well, God's just not working anymore. Excuse me? I don't think that's exactly what the Bible teaches. I don't think it's not that God doesn't want to work. I think it's that we're maybe not... Maybe we've clogged up that conduit a little bit with sin and selfishness, as we heard about preached last night and today. I'm just simply saying, maybe it's not that God's not working, but we're just not available like we once were. Maybe it's because we've allowed sin to be in our life. Maybe the place where you are, it may be tough, but I'm telling you, God wants the water from the sanctuary to flow there. God wants to change some lives. God wants to call some missionaries out of your church, and God wants to call some preachers, but maybe you just kind of get the conduit unplugged tonight. Just simply saying, sometimes we get so full of ourselves, and I got to tell you, preachers, I get sick sometimes of the way we preachers act. We act like we're some kind of God's gift to this world. I'm telling you, we're nothing more than dirt that God has chosen to use and God has chosen to save. And if we just get ourselves off this high pedestal and realize that we're blessed to be used of God, and all we are is just a conduit, just a piece of dirt that God wants to use. D.L. Moody was heard early as a young preacher. Heard someone say, what would God do through a man who was totally yielded to Him? And Moody vowed, by the grace of God, that he'd be that man. You know, once we're saved, really all we are is just a conduit. Preacher, I want to ask you tonight, as we close this meeting out, I want to ask you, does your heart burn within you? Does it burn within you to go back home and make a greater difference in your city? Man, I got to tell you, God, you say, well, man, I don't pastor in Cleveland, Ohio. You don't have to pastor in Cleveland, Ohio. You're where God's put you, and you can make a difference in that city or that town, that village, wherever God has put you. God put you there so the water of the sanctuary can flow and lives can be changed and homes restored and young people rescued. I'm telling you that God wants to use you tonight. He wants to use you tonight. Let me quickly share with you this and we'll be finished tonight. Give me three truths from the purpose of this water. I want you to see in verse number 9, it says it transforms from death unto life. And everything, the Bible says, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. You know, a desert is a desert until water flows into that desert. I've had the privilege, been out to Lancaster, California, and I got to tell you, that is the armpit of America as far as I'm concerned, landscape-wise. There is nothing pretty about Lancaster, California. It is nothing more than just a dirt bowl desert. Down the street from where Brother Chapel's church is, right on the corner of where you make that turn to go into his property, it's nothing but desert. But they got big irrigation pipes flowing into that desert. And I guess it's onions. Man, it certainly smells like onions when you turn the corner there. But what makes that desert produce? It's water. It's water that makes the desert produce. And now I'm just simply saying that, hey, wherever water flows, the Bible talks about the nation of Israel that it shall blossom like a rose. If you've been to Israel, you realize that at one time it was a barren desert. But because they've learned how to harness the water and funnel the water through the conduit to places, they can make that desert become a place of productivity. I'm just simply saying tonight we need to understand that God wants to change lives. And He wants to take that which is dead and barren. God wants to make it live because the water flows through it. Secondly, not only does it transform from death to life, but it transforms from barrenness to loveliness. Amen. These trees it talks about, it says that their leaves shall be full. It speaks of health and vitality. I love Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of godly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, we often, again, talk about, you know, lack of productivity spiritually in our lives. But can I just simply say it's not because there's anything wrong with the water. If we're not producing, it's not because there's anything wrong with the water. Man, the water will produce But the water has to flow. There has to be an availability of our lives. There has to be a fact that that God can say, okay, I can use this as a channel to get my water to someplace, whether it's to Argentina or to Madagascar or to Scotland or wherever the water, God wants the water to flow. God is just looking for some channels who are willing to take that water and turn that which is ugly to something that's lovely. I want to tell you, I can't tell you how wonderful it is. I had the opportunity a year ago, November, to go to Kenya. Missionary of my church, brother Bob Mickey Jr. in Kenya, East Africa. Man, you talk about a strong Baptist, man. He loves what's happened in the GBIF. And in fact, I just saw his prayer letter today as it came through through the email. Brother Bob invited us over. We dedicated a building. Sunday we dedicated his building. Had over 2,300 in the morning service. And we saw a number of people say, then he took me to a couple other churches to preach. And he said, now tomorrow we're going to get up early. We're going to get up about 5:30. We're going into the Maasai region. We're going up on top of a mountain. He said, preacher, there are very few men beside myself, white men beside myself, that have been there where you're going to go. I said, all right, let's do it. And I got to tell you, one of the things that I pray for our missionaries is safety on the roadways. Because I got to tell you, super highways, they have not, in most of these countries. And so we got packed up and got off early in the morning and headed off towards that mountain. I mean, you talk about crawling up there. I mean, over 6,000 feet in elevation, because they're so close to the equator, we didn't have to worry about being too cold. We got up there in this little Maasai village on top of this mountain. He said, okay, they know you're coming. They know we're going to be a service today about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought to myself, well, I'll probably have about a half a dozen people there. It's 3 o'clock on a Monday afternoon. Who's going to show up to listen to a guy preach? Man, we pulled down that road. And I mean, before you ever got there, you could hear him singing. I didn't understand what they were singing, but I liked the sound of what was coming out of that building. It was a little tin-roofed, mud-dung hut type of building. One little window on the one side and one little door entrance on the back side of it. Man, I mean, when we walked in, they thought, I mean this in a very reverential way, they thought God had showed up. I mean, honestly, they were thrilled that somebody would come from the United States of America to preach to them. And that place was full. I thought maybe 15 or 20. There's probably 200 to 250 people crammed in this building. And they were singing up a storm. I mean, again, I didn't understand a word they were singing, but I liked what they were singing. And I knew it was of God. I knew that the hand of God was on that. And I stood there and I preached through two interpreters, one in Swahili and the other one into the Maasai language. Stood there and, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. If you've been in that situation where you've been in, and you just know God's there. Man, I tell you, I gave the invitation and 18 people came forward that afternoon. They took them outside that little hut and those people started singing again while those people were being dealt with. And I got to tell you, that is what life is all about. That's what God is looking for, some people to be conduits, to take that water that flows from the sanctuary someplace where nobody else will go, so that lives can be changed. That which is ugly can be changed to that which is lovely. Finally, I love this. It transforms from sterility to that of productivity. This is good water. It's plentiful. You notice that it produces fruit on the trees, and it's used for medicine. I really think that's just a picture of a Christian whose life is yielded to God. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And God wants us to make a difference in this old world by our lives. And the fact that we're yielded to God. I want to ask you this question tonight. I know I'm probably preaching to the choir, but there may be somebody here. Has your life been impacted by this water? There may be somebody here tonight. You've never been saved yourself. You've never experienced this water that changes and impacts your life. And then if you've already been saved, you're really one of those that God is looking for to be a conduit. Your life needs to be available to take that water someplace. It may be just across the street. It may be down the block. It may be on a bus route. I got to tell you, I saw some buses out there, and I'm sure those buses are reaching and making a difference. I'm telling you, it burns me up sometimes, the philosophy of preachers. Let's move out. We're going to go move out to the to the country, you know, and we're going to buy 40 acres. And man, bless God if you got 40 acres in the country. But why do we forsake the inner cities? Why are we pulling our influence out of the cities? We no longer run buses there. And then we wonder why our cities are drying up and why they're barren. We've pulled the water of life out of the city. And that water needs to flow into the city. And lives can be changed. I want to tell you, our kids in our Christian school, they live in a bubble. They're raised in Christian homes and they're raised in a Christian school. And about the only opportunity that is good and decent for them to touch the world is through the bus ministry. And our kids walk into that inner city. They go into the houses and step over things and the smell is horrendous. I'm just telling you, bless God, it stirs me up when these kids get on fire for God because they work a bus route. All three of my kids work bus routes. And I got to tell you, for people who sit back and say, well, I just don't want my kids to be involved in it, God pity your soul. What are you trying to keep your kids from being a conduit for the water of life to flow to somebody? God help us understand that that's why God put us here to make a difference in this old world. I'm finished. I conclude tonight with a story I read some time ago. They said Moody and Sankey went over to London and held a big meeting. People were flooding to the meeting. I mean, they couldn't get them in. Somebody told Mr. Moody about the fact that there were gypsies in London that wanted to come to the meeting, but the police wouldn't let them come because they were afraid they'd do the pickpocket thing. So one afternoon while the meeting was going on, Mr. Moody had someone else preach, and he and Sankey went out. They hired a private coach, went out to the gypsy area and held the meeting. They said heaven came down and people were saved. They got in that little coach and they were ready to pull away, and Sankey was sitting there with Mr. Moody and the coach and saw a little curly-headed gypsy boy standing there with a bunch of teenage boys. He just reached out and put his hand on the head of that little boy. Mr. Sankey did, and he said, God, I don't know if this boy is saved or not, but if he's not saved, save him and make him a preacher. Years later, when Gypsy Smith came to the United States of America to preach, told the story of Moody and Sankey coming to the village and how Mr. Sankey reached out of that carriage and put his hand on his head. Said, God, I don't know if this boy is saved or not, but save him and make him a preacher. I wonder if you were Moody and you were Sankey, would you have been willing to go to that gypsy village? Said years later, when Mr. Gypsy Smith was holding a meeting, somebody said to him, Gypsy, he said, why is it? It just seems like, you know, that you've never lost your vitality. You've never lost the charisma of your spiritual life. He said, I've never lost the wonder of it all. We sing that song sometimes in our church. I've never lost the wonder of it all. I've never lost the wonder of all. Since the day that Jesus saved me, a whole new life He gave me. I've never lost the wonder of it all. I'm afraid too often we've lost the wonder of it. Afraid too often we've failed to be the conduit that God wants us to be. And we've allowed that pipeline to get clogged up, and we wonder why there's not souls saved. We wonder why there's not more productivity. We wonder why there's not more preachers being called. Preacher, I want to tell you why they're not being called. It's because the water's not flowing as freely as it ought to flow. We've allowed things to get in our way, and we've allowed ourselves to be bigger than we really are. And there needs to be a sense of humility, a sense of brokenness about us. Instead of being haughty and being full of ourselves, we need to be broken and full of the Holy Spirit of God so that when we go back home, we can let that water that flows from the sanctuary make a world of difference. Not only have a global impact, a local impact, but a national impact and a global impact. That's what this fellowship's all about. I hope we always keep preaching first and foremost. I don't want this to be a fellowship about what's trendy. We know what works. Problem is, we don't want to pay the price for what works. I'm just simply saying tonight, as we close this meeting, boy, we're living in a barren world. We're living in cities that need this water that flows from the sanctuary. Boy, what a difference it makes when that water has the ability to flow.